All right, we're live. Tap and Birdie, the Players in all caps. Here with my good friend PGA Tout, John Housebauer. How are you tonight?
I'm good. The Players, but louder.
Yeah,
I feel like I have to scream it because when I write it, which is all I do content wise, I just slam on the caps lock. But as a podcaster, I feel like you have to just say it a little bit louder.
No, for sure. Like,
or just like lean into the mic a little bit more when you say it.
The players. With Aaron Badley, Dylan Wu, Carl Yuan, Peter Malnati, the best field in golf. Doesn't get much better than this. Players Championship Week. Are you jacked up? Like, where are you at with this week?
Yeah, all the best official world golf ranking players in the world. So, like, undisputably, whoever wins this week is the best player in the world. What more stakes could you possibly ask for? Are the Chainsmokers playing this year?
No, I feel like they are. I did see that Akon's playing at Live Miami. Like,
no, they got Akon?
Akon, Live Miami, I'm locked up, they won't let me. Like, he has to play that song. That's one of my favorite Akon songs, easy. But no, I don't know who the musical guest this week of the Players is. That's definitely something that I was missing from my research.
Damn, I can look into that. I saw Akon perform live with Snoop Dogg at Jersey City Town Hall for 4th of July one year.
Movie?
It was actually kind of sick. There was like, it was in the streets and they shut down the streets and there was people like climbing up the like bus stops and like hanging from lampposts to see Akon, which is like way too much effort to get a good view of Akon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would compare it to like betting Brian Harman at like 50-1 to win the player. Like that's like the equivalent. Like you're just like doing a
little bit. Bending over backwards to get there.
No, like I'm not like, you know, we're not doing all this to bet Brian Harman at 50-1.
I'm excited. It's okay. That's how I feel.
I'm excited for this week. I think this is top three course they play on the PGA Tour. I really like it. It's not standard PGA Tour golf. We usually get a good winner, a lot of water balls. Like I'm Players good event. Like I'll go out on a limb and say this is a good event. The back end of the field is not good, and it's an embarrassment from the PGA Tour to say this is like the best field in golf. But other than that, like I'm pretty jacked up for this week.
Yeah, the bottom of the like I really don't scroll very far on the board when I'm looking at odds this week. Like once we get to 150. I'm like, are these guys all in the field or is this the alternate list? Like, what? How are these guys playing in the Players? I think it makes it actually a little bit easier to bet because you get some randoms, but you look back on it and it's like, how did this guy win at 201? Like when Siwoo won, he was like a big dog. But you look at like how he got there and it was like, I think he won earlier in the year. Yeah. His form was good. He was just like, I'm Siwoo Kim. So who is this guy? There's a lot of guys that are like Siwoo Kim this week who are like at way too long of odds that are playing really well that if they won the Players, you'd be like, yeah, okay, that checks out.
Yeah.
But that's my thought process this whole week is like, would I be shocked if that guy won the Players? Because there's plenty of guys that we know if Scottie Scheffler's like breathing down their neck and they have to hit a good iron shot on 17, they won't. Like Chad Ramey, I think last year, a very good example of like he could play well here, but is he going to win the Players? No, he'll make an eight.
Do you look at the Players kind of like a BC like before Christ, like with the May move, the move from May to March? Because before it moved to March, there were definitely some longer shot guys to win this event, a lot of long shot guys lingering top five and post move to March, it's been number one players in the world, major champions, arguably the best golfer at a certain point in their life. So that's kind of what I'm grappling with this week is like, I'm down to bet a bunch of bombs, but this new spot in the schedule just hasn't really like produced that at all. Like, obviously, yeah. Shout out Bond. Like, he almost
I was won. Just going to mention Bond. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always, like, they may not win, but there's always a random in the top five. Like, even Lee Westwood, the year that JT won, was yeah. right there for most of it. Like, David Lingmerth was the guy last year who was, like, lingering yeah. around top five David the whole time. Like, there's always been, one guy.
Like, for all the talk about how elite this event is, like, last year, David Lingmerth's top five. So. Yeah. Again.
I don't know. I mean, I think, and to the point of like, there hasn't been a lot of long shots since it changed from May to March. Like, I think there are certain guys who play better at certain times of the year who need a little bit more build up, who need like a major under their belt before they come to the Players. Maybe there's something to that, but I don't think the course is like more advantageous okay. to good players in March. There's just certain players who are like not up to speed yet in March. Like Chris Kirk is a good example. He has sick course history here up until the year it changed to March, and then he's been horrible. So that's okay. just like a person. That's like a him thing. Like the way that the grass grows is dormant. It wasn't dormant back then. It's in March, used to be in May, it's throwing them off. So there's guys like that where I'm like, okay, you have good history, but you haven't done anything since 2019. Probably something to that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I've definitely been factoring that into my models all week. That's definitely been a big thing for me. I think that the only way we got to start this, we got to devote some time to talk about Scottie Scheffler. The winner of the Bay Hill Invitational, now a 7-time winner on the PGA Tour, 8 if you include the Hero World Challenge. He has yet to win a PGA Tour event outside a 3-month window in the calendar year of February, March, and April. He has 7 wins, but he's only won 5 different events. Is that math right?
Sounds right. Yeah. Well,
like he won Waste twice and Bay Hill twice. So I tweeted it out. You obviously got it because you're a golf sicko. But I said I'm gonna bet Scottie to win match play next year and then the Masters year after that. Do you want to explain that to the viewers or like should I?
Well, are you just saying he wins the same types of
events? Like so in his first year, he won Waste, Bay Hill, match play, Masters. Okay, and then okay. the next year he won Waste. And then the year after that, he won Bay Hill. Year after that, he's going to win match play. And then he's going to win the Masters. Like everything's going to come back to his first stretch of wins on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of just dominates at the courses that he dominates at, which yeah. To be fair, he kind of dominates everywhere, but like I think it's more the putting thing. Like if he's won somewhere and he's figured out how those greens roll, like he's more likely to win if he's on a place he's comfortable putting. Maybe there's something to that. The Players, you know, he's got a weird history here. He won and he hasn't finished better than like top 40. Otherwise, a lot of guys have that type of history. So API, like I'm never going to kick myself too hard for not betting Scottie Scheffler at 6.5 to 1. But I did definitely text multiple people saying I would like Scottie's so much better than Rory and they're both single digits. I should just bet Scottie, but I can't do that because I'm a man of principle and I can't go sub, you know, I spotlight Harris English. I got to have room for Harris English.
Yeah.
I can't be for my integrity, my reputation on the line. I can't go 6.5 Scottie and Harris English on a card. I'll be laughed out of town. No one will take me seriously.
Like DMs would be flooded with people like, what the fuck are you doing?
Unfollow. Like this is not the tower I once
like
knew.
You're never going to buy a house with this type of card.
Yeah. I'll be, how much money did you lose winning Scottie Scheffler? You know, like that's what people would be saying today. So I got to take that L. Worst bet I've ever placed in my life. And the second I placed it, I said,
Rory,
I knew it.
Worst bet like, you've ever placed in your entire life. Was
it was
Rory
dead. Yeah, like a single digit Rory at API showing no form outside of Dubai at a course that he always backdoors top fives, but never actually is in the running.
Yeah.
With like everybody around him was in better form. And he's world number two, but it's like the phoniest world number two. Like, how is Rory world number two? He hasn't looked good in like 5 months. How is he world number two? Because everybody else has like taken a step back, but like, he's not the second best player in the world.
So that's what I like about you, John. I like that you admit that it was a bad bet and you didn't come on here and say like the process was good. Like, course played a little bit different than I thought. Like, no, just a straight up bad bet on Rory.
I was like, I can't make a decision on anyone in the 20s.
Okay.
I'm just, and
none of them once. Who cares? Guy.
And yeah, the process from that aspect was good, but we got to do some reflecting, looking in the mirrors, be better this week. If anybody bets Rory a 10 to 1 this week, get out.
I think he's like 14.
He might have slipped out. I know when it opened, a lot of books had him at 10, and it's like, for what reason?
So where are you on Scottie Scheffler winning every event he plays in now that he putted well last week with the mallet? Like, do you lean more on that side or more on the, it was one good putting week, he'll probably continue to dominate tee to green and win like one or two times and underperform on the green? Like, where do you net out on Scott after last week?
Yeah, I'm more on in the camp of like, if all that was missing was a switch to the spider, then why didn't he do it?
Your local PGA superstore attendant could fucking tell you that a mallet is easier to putt than a fucking like blade. Like, that is like not revolutionary information. He has the best fucking putting coach in the world. Like, it makes no sense.
I have to believe that he's just not comfortable over it, and he's really resistant to the idea of being a mallet guy. And just did not want to do it and got to a point where he was like, it can't get any worse. Let me just see if this works. So I still don't think this is like the solve. Like, even with like Lucas Glover, it was like, oh, he just had to do the group broomstick. Now he's the best player in the world. Not that we thought that, but it's like, oh, this guy could actually be on the Ryder Cup because he doesn't miss putts anymore.
Yeah.
And he's back to being horrible. So I think long term, Scottie will still be a bad putter. I don't know enough about like this mallet experiment yet to know if this was like the missing link. I also think there's something to it where like he probably thought it was like cute that he plays a Scotty Cameron and it says Scotty on it. Yeah. And he was like, I can't give that up. I'm Scotty. I have to play a Scotty.
Yes, and he probably listens to Scotty Doesn't Know all the time. Like, just everything that revolves around Scotty, like, he's just in on. And if it was Scott Cameron, he wouldn't be using it. Like, the fact that it's Scotty.
Exactly. So I think that was hard for him to cut ties with.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not concerned about him this week. This is a week where the favorites can just like combust. I know he just like boat raced the place last year. But if there was ever a plate, like, there's water everywhere. He's not, like, the greens are kind of weird here. He's not guaranteed to roll them all in again.
Okay.
I'm still going to play him like DFS and everything, but I'm not like terrified going to the without Scotty Markets.
What about like going forward? Like, is he just going to win the Masters and Memorial and the US Open and PGA? Like, where do you see that? Not like this week specific.
Well, that's the other thing. Difficult conditions, you can get away with not making every putt.
Yeah.
So the majors, I think he's still going to be a threat. I'll probably bet him 8 to 1 in a major this year.
Okay.
I did that at the US Open at least last year, probably one or two others. Like, it's always a comfortable feeling betting Scotty. Like, he's going to be around.
I don't know. I feel like it's the opposite. Cause he like, it's actually,
you're just
like
waiting for him to explode.
It's just like a terrible feeling of like, this guy can't make a 3 foot putt, but hits every single fairway and puts everything to 8 feet. So I don't know. Like, I'm personally like, golf is just not that easy. Scotty is not just going to switch to a mallet spider putter and he's just going to win every event after he should have last year, but couldn't putt. Like, golf just doesn't work that way. And like we said, there's no way that he switched to a mallet before and didn't putt well. Like, he had a new putter at Hero and putted well and won. And I'm not comparing it to the amateur game. But if you're like a regular golfer and you get a new putter or you get a new wedge, your first couple rounds, you usually play a little bit better with it because, like, it's new. And I just don't think that, like, this is just going to solve his game and he's going to be unstoppable. And I genuinely felt like that was the consensus, like, on Twitter after. It's like, yo, like, this guy's legitimately going to win six majors, like, maybe this year. Like, I'm out on that. Like, I don't think that is going to happen. I think very soon Scottie Scheffler will not touch the hole on a 3-foot putt and I'll fucking Vic lap it. Like, I'll Vic lap the shit out of it. Like, Scottie Scheffler will miss a 3-foot putt again. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, all anyone's ever been saying is like, oh, this guy could just putt to average, he would win every event. So, like, that's the scary thing, that, like, if he's top, what is he, top 15 in putting for the week, or top 10 for putting the week, he's going to win a lot. He just doesn't really have that ceiling in him. But, like, he's good enough to win events losing strokes putting if he loses, like, half a stroke. If he putts
neutral, then
he's always going to be, like, top five.
Like, I really just, like, want it. Like, I know it's, like, he's the arguably, like, one of the best players of our generation. Like, I don't feel, like, bad saying that. I also, like, invented the guy. But
people forget.
I would, like, genuinely, like, I want to see him gain all this putting at a course he's not already won at. Like, I want to see it at a PGA or US Open or at Memorial. Like, if Scottie's just going to win one of Waste, Bay Hill, Players, Masters for the rest of his career, like, I'm out. Like, you're, like, lower in my rankings. But, obviously, off a big week, where do you set Scott? How many majors will Scottie Scheffler win in his career? What is the number? I don't want an over-under. I want, what do you think that in 2060, when we look on back on Scottie's career, how many majors does he have on his Wikipedia page?
Kind of feels like he could burn out with the way that, like, he throws his body around everywhere. Like,
okay,
like I could see Colin Morikawa having more majors than Scottie Scheffler. Maybe that's my
okay. I you lost me there,
because Morikawa's game will be this forever. Like, he's gonna be great iron guy. Some weeks he hits putts, always in the fairway. When he's old, this is still going to be his game. Like, he's already won a major without two majors without any distance.
Yeah.
So I think the longevity of Morikawa's game, I think, is going to last. Scheffler, like, eventually he's going to have, like, a bad ankle. He's going to, like, tear an ACL hitting a drive because he's fallen all over himself. Like, he's going to have to reinvent himself a little bit in that aspect. So he's got to get his work in early. He should. You know the thing with Scottie? A lot of his wins are, like, stress-free, you know, because he builds up such a big lead. Like,
I know, but I don't think that's, like, a negative. Like, I don't.
But,
like, I understand.
How many times have we seen him chase somebody down to win
literally his
first big event?
Like, his first two wins, that's it.
Did it happen that way, though? I mean,
yeah, no, he made birdies down the stretch at Waste Management, and he was like 100-1 at Bay Hill when he won. Match play doesn't count. Ran away with it at the Masters. Kind of ran away with it at Waste last year, and didn't even have to contend at the Players last year.
Because I'm thinking, like, the way he won the Masters was weird. He, like, 5-putted. That was odd.
Yeah.
The Tour Championship, he has absolutely gagged the last two
years.
That's like a shell of himself with, like, not even that much pressure on the line to, like, shoot par in the final round both times. He couldn't do it either time just to, like, win a lot more money. And he looked, like, very human closing out those events. So he's not, like, this Tiger Woods force who's, like, people are like, oh, no.
And they're also, what I will say about Scottie is that there's been a lot of times where it felt like he was just going to win the tournament on Friday afternoon, and he didn't. Like, PGA Championship, Century, like, there's other events, you know, sprinkled in there. I like waste management this year. Like, there's been a lot of times where it's like, fuck, Scotty's just going to win. Like, fuck this. And he didn't. So I'm here for the, like, Scotty Scheffler, is he a closer take? Like, I can ride that. Also, like, is he a limited field guy? Hero World Challenge, the Masters, Bay Hill was closed doors. So, you know, I kind of want to see this guy do it in a big field.
Yeah, well, that's true. I if I'm setting it over under, it's probably 4.5.
4.5.
Is that low? That's low.
No, I think that's high. Like, I think it's 3. I think the over under is 3.5. If he wins 4 majors, like, that's incredible. Like, winning 4 majors is truly like a massive, massive achievement. Like, I think he'll have 3. And I think 4 is like unbelievable, like amazing career, like top 15 of all time. If he gets to 5, like, that is like truly an absolutely incredible accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is his window over the next 5 years to put some damage in there. He's always going to be good at Augusta. And he's a great fit at all. Like, he's good in links conditions too, because he just hits like those low flight of balls. So, like, he's the best tee to green player since Tiger. Like, no debate. The numbers are like better than a lot of Tiger's best tee to green years.
Yeah.
And he's a terrible putter, but he doesn't look like a terrible putter. You know, like when he's hitting,
he's in good putts. The data can't. Like, the data can't.
It's not like he's Will Zalatoris and he's like shaking over these. Like,
hitting everything.
Like, he has like a hitch in his putt. Like, he doesn't have the yips or anything. He's just like aiming the wrong way. So
he's hitting good putts. He's like, not going in.
Yeah. Eventually he'll figure it out and he'll just go on.
So what is your official number? What is your number? I don't want an over under. How many majors does Scotty Scheffler finish his career with?
I'll say 5. Cause as soon as 4.5 came out of my mouth, I was like, I think that's too low actually. So I'm going to say 5.
Yeah. I don't, like, people don't just get majors. Like, Rory fucking should have 7 by now. Like, he doesn't. Like, you should have, like, it just doesn't, no one just wins a fuck ton of majors, like, other than Brooks. Like, you don't just win a fuck ton of majors. It just doesn't really happen. So I would say Scotty Scheffler, if he doesn't have 2 majors by the end of the 2025 season, if he doesn't have 2 more majors, so if he doesn't have 3 by the end of 2025, I would say disappointment. And he still hits the ball well. That's my take.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a big gap between him and the rest of the best players right now. Like, he should be at like 5-1 at the Masters, right? Like, that's probably where
he's at, like, right, 6. Now. Like, books are like, yeah, we're not like even remotely, but still, he'll be the most bet player this week. Like, pure handle. Like, most people will bet Scotty Scheffler 5-1 because they don't care, and they're not like, EVR gained 11 strokes on approach here 2 years ago. Like, I need EVR on my card. Another guy I want to talk about, where are you on Wilsey? Like, is he back? Like, fire up the Masters futures. I think truly he's been one of the bright spots of the PGA Tour this season. I think that he's a guy that really elevates the PGA Tour. Because in the biggest moments and in the biggest events, he usually shows up. And I think he's a very likable guy. And I think the PGA Tour really needed him this year. Like, I think he's been him and Windy C have been definitely a bright spot on the PGA Tour. Where are you on Will Zizzle?
He's like all the way back. I can't believe how back he is. Yeah. Like, it took him very little time to be like, he looked horrible, couldn't have looked worse at the Hero. Like, we're like straight from the hospital bed for whatever surgery he had to that course. Like, couldn't be any rustier than that. And then he was really bad at Sony, and he's been fantastic ever since. 18 under at the Amex. Like, that's not prime Will Zalatoris wasn't doing that. And now he's got, you know, back-to-back top fives. Like, he's vintage Will Z now. So I think he's like all systems go for Masters. I've completely missed out on any value on Will Z.
Okay.
And I still might bet it, like, a 25 Will Z.
Really? Like, I might
do that.
He's 30 this week.
Yeah, but Masters course history.
Yeah.
That's going to be priced.
I mean, Kyle Porter said he should be the second favorite at Augusta. Did you see that tweet? It was like a bunch of things. It was like Will Zalatoris should be the second favorite at Augusta. I'm like, okay. Like, I like Will Z. Like, I have a 35-1 at the Masters, but no, he shouldn't be.
Yeah, 35. And honestly, that's a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I bet. And I have 40 at the PGA and US Open. Like, he'll be there at the events. Like, I really think. But I don't know if you're in, but Will Z, 18-1, Houston Open, mortgage. Mortgage, nuke, max, wega, whale, Will Zalatoris. If he plays, I don't know if he's playing. If Will Zalatoris plays in Houston, it's an absolute piss missile.
Is that because his family like owns Houston?
No, like, it's just like difficult conditions in Texas, easier field.
Okay, I'm pretty sure his family are like oil tycoons.
They're Dallas guys.
Okay, so they're the town over. Okay.
Yeah, so it does.
Will Z's 21. The best number on him is 21-1 at the Masters.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's, I would still probably bet it.
I am fucking loaded up on CLV for that. Let's go, dude.
He's shorter than Cam Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Smith, I have him at like 28.
Yeah, actually, Cam
Smith. But I stayed up to watch Liv Bangkok, and Cam looked dialed. So I'm pretty happy with my Cam future. I was grinding Liv Bangkok this week. It's not Liv Bangkok, but I'm really upset they got rid of the event because it's just like such a funny thing to say. And like, it was just easy to like make fun of Liv if you just like, oh, I'm not going to wake up at one to watch like Liv Bangkok. Like Liv Hong Kong is not as funny because it actually was like a decent event. But shout out Abe Answer. I feel like should have been on that. Like short course, Abe Answer, 35-1. Like I'm kicking myself a little bit for that.
Yeah, I'm just never going to bet Liv, probably.
You're out on Liv.
I'm out on betting Liv. Okay. I got to be, like, with the boys, you know, and, like, actually able to watch it.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'll put a squad bet in if we're going to watch the end of Liv on, like, a boys trip or something. I'm totally down for that. But I'm not going to, like, research Liv and bet anything with any sort of conviction on it.
Okay, that's fair. I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm actually, no one cares, but I'm actually lowering my outright exposure per week. Like, I'm betting to win less money because I just, like, it's just such a fucking waste of money. And, like, I just, it just pain after fucking shit. And I just, it's fucking ridiculous. And I don't feel like for a while I was like, all right, I don't care, I'll lose $500 a week. Now I'm just like, yo, like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm betting to win less money. And like, no one cares, but the Puerto Rico Open, fucking Jimmy Stagner, like, I don't know why, but ever since I saw his name at Torrey, I'm like, Jimmy Stagner, like, that's,
you've been riding name. You invented Stag.
Yeah. No, like, genuinely. And I'm like, dude, he's playing fucking Puerto Rico. Like, I'm nuking it. So I bet, like, a stupid amount of money on it just because I like saying his name. And he, like, actually plays really well. And he's, like, leading on the front nine. And he just, like, plays, like, so fucking dumb. I'm, like, grinding, like, fucking Puerto Rico, just watching and dying over every shot. It makes a horrible bogey. Birdie's a par five. And then people were at 19 with like a bunch of holes to go. I'm like, okay, there's no chance. 19 holds. Like, no one. And all he has to do is birdie 18, which is a hard hole. It's like 630. Like, there's no gimme par fives in Puerto Rico. And he hits like one of the best shots of anybody. Like, actually gets it like close to the green, like chipping, like a long chip. It was not an easy chip, but it was like a longer chip. And he just skull fucks it over the green, like, doesn't even give himself a shot at making birdie. I'm like, are you, like, it was such a good bet, and I like bet stupid money on it, and it just like comes up short. It's just like, yo, I'm fucking done with this shit. Like, it sucks.
And you didn't even bet Hayden Springer, which I begged and pleaded for you to get on Springs. And he was
Springs?
He tied him too. He was 18 under. He was one stroke away. So all of us had Puerto Rico heartbreak to Bryce Garnett.
Who actually like should have been on him. He fucks in the Caribbean.
Scotty
he
is Scheffler the of yeah. Pass Bottom. Like he's good.
He is the Caribbean killer. Caribbean killer. Like truly look at his results. He just fucks in the Caribbean.
It's it. Yeah. I wish somebody would ask. They probably have asked him, like, why are you literally only good outside of the continental US? What's going on?
Sorry, I have a space heater on. It got way too hot. You also didn't even say anything. Like, I wore this for you.
I know we got into it too quick. I noticed the Greystone. I would never
shout out Greystone.
That salmon QZ.
That was a sick round, dude.
Number one course in Rochester.
Yeah, like without a doubt. Like if you're ever in Rochester, play Greystone. Tell them you know John and I. They'll give you a discount. You want to talk players?
Let's do it.
What are you looking for this week? Like, what are the boxes you got to check to make your card?
T splits first and foremost. had to hold, you know, show some restraint before I fired off any outrights to see the wave advantage, because what is it? Every single winner has been
14 out of the last 16 have been AMPM.
Yeah, so I think that means Alex Noren is going to win.
Alex, dude, like in my notes, Alex Noren, first round leader. These are the first round leader guys. Those are all Morgans. They're all going to cash. Noren, first round leader, is a mega max. If you're not, he's got to be on the card. Come on.
Yeah, he is now. Yeah. Round leader, yeah. I haven't even begun yet, but I'm
okay. Fine. Nope. You're good. You're good. Go.
I actually think, broken record. I say this every week, so it doesn't really matter. But this is Aaron Rye's week. This is, if I had to put my foot down and say, where is Aaron Rye going to be first round leader? He's going to be first round leader, but it's only going to happen once this year. It happened three times last year. TPC Sawgrass, I ran all the models, positional courses, layup heavy courses where you can't drive it into the bunker, mitigating your misses off the tee, who has the least wayward shots into water, plus approach. It's Aaron Ryan, Siwoo, and like massive gap everybody else. Siwoo, I can't really bet first round leader because he's too short at the Players. Aaron Rye will for sure, I haven't looked at
his
odds,
but
he's
for
sure like 120-1 or something.
I'll ride it. Is he winning?
Nah, he won't be on the card, but because one of those.
Is he in the morning? Is Aaron Rye teeing off in the morning?
I thought you said, is he winning? No, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it if he's in the morning or not. But I'm blindly betting it, and it doesn't matter where he's teeing off. He's going to win. He's going to be first round leader.
He is fucking morning. Okay, let's go. Then. I'm riding. I'm in.
All right. You get 80-1. I'll take that. I'll take 80. I thought we get to 100, but it's okay. It's still value. Keegan. No. Keegan. So every players, I bet Keegan, Hoagie, and Rye as first round leader.
Yeah.
So that's not giving me much space otherwise, but I'll put in Noren. We'll ride that together.
Okay. I have other Griot. I like to. Let's just get the good part of the pod out of the way. Noren, Griot, Hadwin, EVR, first round leader. Those are four are on the card. Add Rye to it. Maybe a couple other morning guys. But those four, first round leader for sure. Ben likes it. Shout out Ben, EVR, first round leader, and Caps, he gets it. boxes, outrights, players. What are you feeling?
What?
Like, what boxes do you need to check?
Oh. For outrights.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all approach and putting for me. I feel like you should be at like comp course, plays well in positional courses. I feel like that translates pretty well. I feel like Sony has been a really good comp So looking for a lot of guys who played Sony who were good and played well there. Keegs. Bermuda putting is like not really that much of a thing because it's like not purely Bermuda. It's like this dormant overseas situation. So I don't really care so much about that. The around the green areas are like much different than most Florida spots. So I'm like not going crazy about like Bermuda short game. But it's Pete Dye. So you got to have like, you just got to have like creative shots.
Okay.
I say that as somebody who bet Victor Hovland. I'm hoping that he hits 100% of greens in regulation. But, you know, ideally you are like a Siwoo, a Justin Thomas, a Scottie Scheffler, somebody who can scramble around. It's weird that like
Cam Smith also has a good short game, I've been told.
Yep, that's not bad. So it's weird that like Spieth hasn't ever played well here because he kind of like passes the test of everything you should be doing well at Sawgrass, but I'll continue not bet him. So yeah, it's like Florida swing, form, positional course history, elite irons, and like you know, like you have a spine. You're not gonna
where fall, are like, you on you have to be playing really good golf right now in your last start to win the Players.
Yeah, last start I'm out on that because
okay,
like Bay Hill,
you're
so
out
different.
On last start.
Yeah, it's so windy too, like it. If you're not somebody who plays well in like crazy stormy winds, then like it's going to be windy at Sawgrass for sure, but it's a different type of wind. Yeah. Cause it's a stadium course. So it's like kind of protected in a way. It's more the swirling stuff that you get on a lot of holes. There's more trees. There's like, I mean, there's trees at API too, but it's like, it's a little bit more protected. It's just like a swirling wind that you have to get used to. Course history means like pretty much nothing. It's nice if you have repeatable course history, but if you're somebody with bad course history, I think it's still fine. Cause it's just like a new batch every year. So as long as you like, if you hit your irons well last, like at API, it's a great sign. But if you didn't, then I'm just going to blame like there was too much water and yep. wind and it skewed the numbers and I'm still fine.
I'm in either way. I'm in like, you have to play well last week. Also, you don't have to because it's Bay Hill. But honestly, like the event before the Players has changed. Like it hasn't always been Bay Hill. It was only Bay Hill last year. Like year before, right. Cam Smith didn't play Bay Hill. Year before that, it was like fucking the Nicklaus course. So that's fair. I think that's like, if you really look at it, like I dove into it. And like just looking at what the winner did in their last start, like almost all of them had a good approach week. So that's yeah. kind of tough for me to like overlook.
No, approach is one that, but I'll look at approach. And it's like you can have one bad round where you lose like three strokes on approach and it tanks the rest of your week. So there's some like Sam Burns, a good example of that. Like he was god awful in the last round.
Yeah,
of the API, but he was hitting it well. He was hitting it well everywhere else. So like I can overlook one bad round. If okay. all of your rounds were bad, then okay. that's a concern coming in for sure.
Okay. We talked about Scotty. He's not going to win. He's really not going to win. I think we're both on the record. He's not going to win. Rory 14. You said it was the worst bet you ever made ever in your life last week. You said 14 is an even worse bet this week. He can't hit an iron. I'm out on these top two, and I'm obviously not going to bet Scotty at 5.5 to 1. You bet JT. I received inside information, 23 to 1. Not a lot of multi-time players winners here, but he does check the box of actually playing well, gaining on approach. Great short game. Good course history here. What is your case for JT?
Yeah, JT is like the course PMC history except. What's that?
PMC
time. Master of bad draws, so I couldn't be less phased yeah. about it.
Yeah.
Like the exception to the rule of like nobody's consistent at the Players where he's never missed a cut here. He's like, I think he's literally the only one in the field who's played at least four times and never missed a cut. So, and this is like the perfect Justin Thomas course. Like Justin Thomas's problem is that he tries to create shots on like very straightforward holes. It's like just trying to do way too much. And here, like if you want to like send a little like low draw around a tree or something, you can do it. If you want to play a cut and finesse it in over there, you can do it. If you need to like hit some sort of clever shot around the green, go crazy. He had his worst showing ever this time last year. He was a shell of himself last year, so I'm going to overlook that. He was just unrecognizably bad all of last season, so I'm going to throw that away. T33 the year before in like the worst conditions imaginable is like the best T33 anyone's ever had. Yeah. One the year before that, I was on him. So good vibes to go back to him back at Sawgrass and just playing really well. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened, but a switch has been flipped and he's back to his vintage self. So he hasn't won a non-major since the Players in 21, which is crazy. So it feels like it makes sense to me that now would be the time that he does it.
Okay. I like that case. No beef with it. I don't know if he's going to win this event, you know, two times in 4 years. That's kind of my biggest hesitation with JT. And I don't know if he's ready to win again. And he's a PMT time. But other than that, like, I'm in.
I mean, is he a guy who's going to win the PGA Championship twice?
He didn't win the second one. Like, that didn't count. Like, I'm pretty sure fucking agree. Like some high schooler gained more strokes to the field than he did when he won. But it's fine. I'm over it. Like, I honestly don't even care.
Well, Richie's in the choir on that one.
Your spotlight was Hovland. Hovland fucks here. This is a Hovland track. He hits the ball unbelievably well here. But he's come down to earth after the summer of Hovland. Why did you bet him?
Yeah, I think after betting Rory, and again, like immediately after hitting that bet, I was like, that was the stupidest bet I've ever made in my life. How do I take it back? I was like, Victor's like just better than Rory. I feel better about Victor. He's more reliable. He's not erratic whatsoever. He knows where the ball is going. He hits it dead straight, hits it far and straight, but his irons are also good all over the place. He's a coastal god, so he's sick. Flighting shots into the wind, that's huge here. And he's like, when he's on, he makes every putt too. So he's like one of very few elite ball strikers who are also great putters. I agree with that. His short game sucks. And it hasn't gotten any better. It's probably gotten worse since he broke up with his coach, but he always plays well in the majors. And the narrative going into all the majors is he's not going to be able to scramble in difficult conditions. He's not going to hit these greens at like 80% in regulation and he can't reliably chip. And he like is gaining strokes at the US Open around the green. He's gaining strokes at the PGA around the green, at the Masters around the green. Like they keep saying he's not going to ever win the Masters because his short game isn't creative enough. And he's like top 10ing every year there too. So maybe he won't win. Maybe he'll just always backdoor contend, but won't get up and down when he needs to. I'm kind of the opinion that like, give me Victor Hovland getting up and down from off the green, chipping it horribly to 10 feet, but still making the putt over like, you know, just Colin Morikawa having to hit a 6-footer.
Okay.
For par or something, you know, like he's not a good chipper, but he'll make the long putts coming back. And that's what you're really hoping for with Vic.
Yeah. I like Vic. I think he's at a good number. And course history alone, like, I think it's a good bet. I could see, not saying this is a get right spot for him, but I could see him kind of wrapping up four major season with a really strong showing here. I don't know if he's going to win. Like, I don't know if his game is quite there yet. And he wasn't a prolific winner before last summer. And the Tour Championship doesn't really count. So, like, that's kind of my concern. He is an AMT time, which I do like. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go there. I like Max. I like Max 28. I know he was a bit higher earlier. I'm hoping for maybe some drift on Max. But this is a course that he plays well at. And he's played well even when he wasn't, you know, a top 10 player in the world. 13th, 6th, last 2 years. Gained in every major category. I think I put him in the Hovland category of a good ball striker that also can putt, which really obviously like about him. Don't like the ball striking. The ball striking hasn't been great. And that's, you know, kind of where I'm like, again, have to be really good on approach coming in here. At least a lot of winners were. So that kind of gives me, you know, a bit of cause for concern. I worry about the ball striking right now, but I don't know. I like it. Like, you know, I really can kind of poke holes in a lot of players. So it's tough for me to kind of get there. If you asked me 2-3 weeks ago, I would have said 1,000,000% I'm betting Colin Morikawa at the Players. In my opinion, yeah, this is a perfect course for him. Like, he's just, this is just an absolute great spot for him. Just have to be accurate off the tee, but don't have to be super long. Have to be an elite iron player. Like, the short game and putting, eh. But tee to green, this is just a great spot for Colin. And I bet him here last year, and I thought I was the smartest person in the world after the first round and second round. You know, did he finish top 10? No. But he, you know, was live favorite at one point, so that counts for something. But I heard that he was absolutely terrible at the Hill, like truly abysmal. And yeah, something might be,
he was
be
like
off
one
of
the five players to miss the cut.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, his, he missed two cuts before Players last year and played really well. He missed two cuts before Players this year. Like, I don't think his form's that much different than last year. And 30-1, like, I don't know. I might have to be in just from a, like, I think this is a perfect course for him, and he fits the mold of winners here other than the short game. Like, I might have to be in at 30-1. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, I was on the same. I think I, like, went on record. Now I'm off record a year later that I would bet Colin and Tom Kim at every Players for the next decade. Yeah. And just, you know, like, they're going to win at some point. Because it suits both of them perfectly. But Colin's, I don't know. Colin looks like he's going through something right now. Like, he's like just a guy ball striking now.
Jack.
He's I mean, he's gained, like, I think, yeah, he lost in two of his last three on approach. Like, that's your one thing. If he's not doing that one thing, then
it's fair.
Then he's definitely just a guy in all the other areas.
It's fair.
But it's the perfect course for Colin Morikawa if he's, like, figured out his game. And yeah, he is slipping, so you can get a good number on him.
Decky, no chance. I'm fading Decky this week. Anytime Decky makes sense, he's terrible. You bet Decky when no one's on him and he's like 80-1. You don't bet Decky at 30-1 after a couple good starts at a place he has good history at. Zal, I'm out on. I just, he's been fucking in the elevated events. I don't think he's ready to win just yet. I'm like, I don't think he's quite there with his game. Will he win Houston at 12-1? Yes. Will he win this week at 28? No, he won't. Not selfish, just my official opinion. The person I really want to talk about the most, and, you know, I've gone back and forth on this guy. Like, I invented him. I thought he sucked. I might be back in. What is the case against betting Wyndham Clark at 40-1? Like, why wouldn't we bet Wyndham Clark at 40-1? PMT time is the only one I can think of.
He's a cheater.
Yeah.
So, like more like Daniel Berger might phone in if there's too many cameras on him. Might fluff up a lie somewhere. Like, he's kind of creeping into that territory where he's just trying to give himself too many advantages out there. Is he good on the, I mean, he won Pebble. It's like a live win. Like, he led after three rounds at Pebble. So you give that to him, I guess. But is he great on positional courses? Cause obviously, like, his strength is the distance, not the accuracy. But you look at a guy like a Bryson who's, like, played super well here the last time he played Sawgrass, and he just, like, knows the right time to hit the driver or not to hit the driver.
Yeah, no, I think Wyndham, like, for me, like, he was excellent off the tee here. I think he gained, like, over three strokes off the tee here. So I think this is a place he can club down and be great. Like, is he the best iron player in the world? No, but he has a great short game and can putt well. And I don't know. I just feel like 40-1, like, why the hell not? He's been the best in the elevated events out of anyone, and he played well here when he sucked. Like, why wouldn't, like, 41, it's a good number. Like, he's done more this year than a lot of these guys. So I just, 40-1, I just, like, I'm kind of buying at the peak, but I still think it's a good number considering everyone else kind of sucks.
Yeah, he's the best option in that 40 range. You got, like, Lowry and who else is, like, Burns is, like, 35.
Where are you on Burns?
So win? I bet Burns. I was kind of committed to betting him.
You bet
before
Burns.
The fourth round. Yeah, before the fourth round started at API, I was like, I'm in on Burns. He's got five straight top tens. He's in the top 10 again. He's a Bermuda guy. This is an Innisbrook comp. Same greens. It's the same, like, sight lines off the tee that everybody says is Innisbrook, and he's dominant there. Like, he hasn't had the results yet, but of course his area isn't, like, the most predictive here. So, like, doesn't matter. And, like, so many guys who have won here had zero course history before they did. So he's like, every narrative is pointing me to Burns. And then he's like a shell of himself, body snatched on the last day at the API. So, like, I don't really, now I feel terrible about it, but I was already, like, mentally committed on it. So I'm in, but in theory, we're in Florida, we're on Bermuda. He cannot have his best ball striking stuff and make every putt. That's how he's always won at Valspar. His short game is, like, not creative, but he's, like, comfortable on Bermuda, so that's worth something. And he's been really good off the tee. Like, he's used to be bomb,
and he's a better wedge player than a long iron player. Like, I like him with the wedge in his hand, and he's gonna have a ton of them this week.
Got a little Ryder Cup experience since he was here last year, so now he maybe can handle a crowd a little bit better. Not really, like, a difficult conditions guy, but the players are sort of that, like, moderate conditions where I feel like that's a little bit, like, as far as, like, a big dick event that you need to make a bunch of putts, I feel like that's what this week is. So that would be, I think, if he's going to win a big event, Sam Burns, this would be his best chance.
Yeah, I agree. I bet him. I bet a 40-1. I've been riding him all year. Barring the last round of API, he's been one of the most consistent players on tour, which I don't really think he's ever been, like, known for being a consistent player. He's just, like, randomly popped. So I like that he's actually strung together a bunch of really good starts. And I think that shows that he's kind of taken that next step this year. And I do think he's a guy I trust to win. 40-1, fuck it. Like, I'm in. Like, I, you know, I don't have any real you know, do I think he's absolutely going to win? No, but 40-1 on Sammy B, I've been riding him all year. I can't hop off now. Like, he wins. He could win. Like, why not? So I bet him.
And the Giants just traded for Brian Burns. So you got a little Brian and Burns coming to New York, like, synergy happening here. So I think it's a vibe bet.
Who do you like most out of Connors, Minwoo, Finau, Harman, and Benon, and Tom Hoke? Like two fades. Connors, Minwoo, Finau, Harman, Benon, Hoke.
I think I like, like, you should say Finau because he's, like, a better player than all those guys, but I think Finau. I would go Harman. I think I go Harman and Hoagie.
Really?
Tom Hoke, like, first round leader lock. Has been first round leader here, course record holder as of last year, picked that up in the third round. My card was dead. And then I had nothing to root for after Friday. And then Tom Hoagie comes out, shoots the course record, gave me a little something. He was never in it, but he was like T3 going into Sunday. And I was like, ooh, maybe if he shoots the course record a second time, I'll have an out right here.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
But you invented Tom Hoagie at the Players.
Oh my God. Yeah. 2 years ago, like, he was first round leader.
Everyone's on him. Everyone's on him.
This is a Super Bowl. I mean, he's literally the course record holder. He took it away from Colt Knows. Like, you just have to be in the fairway and flex with your irons, and that's all he does. So this is a perfect course for him. Brian Harman was 150-1,
I
missed it. And this is literally the open all over again. I'm devastated. Like, I didn't get it. I saw it. I didn't tweet about it, but I saw it, and I was like, whoa, Brian Harman shouldn't be there. And then I went to see Dune 2 and I came back and he was 70-1 everywhere because he, like, flashed up the leaderboard on Sunday and he went from, like, T30 to T6. And now you can't get him better than, like, 60-1, but I like him.
Yeah. Like, I said, like, 66, I think that's low. Like, I don't think that's a, obviously it's not a good number, but like, I don't think that's fair. I don't think the 150 is fair. I bet the 150. Is he going to win? No, like zero chance. Brian Harmon's not winning. Like, it's not happening. But I think 66 is a bad number. Like, I don't, like, he's low as 45 in some places. Like, he was 150 last week, but this is a good spot for him. I, you know, think he can pop. I like Ben on a lot. I think this is a really good spot for him. Like, lock for a T7, T12. Can't win.
Sony comp.
Like Sony comp had him. No big deal. Connors, where are you with Corey Connors?
He's just not going to win a big dick event. He's not a BDE guy. He's a Valero guy. That's it. And like, he finds a way in contention and majors and stuff, but then he'll do like an Oak Hill,
yeah,
you know, jam it into the side of the bunker when he has a chance to win. So like, he's going to find the water on the last three holes if he's in the mix. So I don't want any part of that, but maybe like, maybe in DFS. Yeah, sure. I mean, Ball Strikers course.
I don't know if he's in the AM course history, time, but I wouldn't hate Connors for a trend leader.
I'd rather go no,
late
Russ. If they're in like a similar
range. I like Russ. I bet Russ here. I actually think Russ, what are his odds? Yeah. 50-1. Terrible number. But I like Russ a lot. This is a great course for him. Top 20 the last 2 years, again, Harmon Hoagie type. But he, you know, has a little bit of, he's a little bit of a higher caliber player.
Yeah, you're going to need a Tyrrell Hatton situation where you just post a number on Sunday, get in the clubhouse before the pressure's on and just hope that it holds on.
Yeah.
Another guy who, like, yeah, the pressure's on with Russell Henley with water all around him. Like,
yeah, zero.
Enjoy zero your top chance. 10. Like, this is what happened with Tommy Fleetwood last year, actually. He was like, he got all the way back. And then he was like, oh, wait, I could win this thing. And he like quadrupled the last two holes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a really bad T20 beat. Oh. It was a really one of the worst of the year.
Did you have him?
I sure did, yeah.
Wow.
I had him top 20, yeah.
Fuck.
I remember those. I don't forget those.
Yeah, those are tough. You bet Keegan. Can he win?
Great CLV on that one. I don't think you can get 101 anymore.
He's not. You can get 90.
Can you really? Okay. So mediocre CLV. Something about Keegan here, like, to me, it's like he's been close. And I feel like you learn from it, maybe. Okay. You know, yeah. Like, okay, the last time I was in this situation, I didn't know what to do. I panicked and I hit it in the water. Now I know I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And what year was it that... Was it the Cam Smith? Yeah, it was the Cam Smith.
Yeah, he was top five.
He was charging. And he made this is right before he figured it out with the putting. Like, he wasn't hitting anything. And then the players came and he all of a sudden everything went in and it changed everything for him. So there's something about these greens that he's been good on. He's a Florida guy. He claims Florida.
Yep.
He's got the wide East Coast.
Full swing bump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crowd's going to be on his side. I have not watched yet. No,
like not a single episode.
Not yet. I need to.
Why?
I've seen the clips and stuff. I'm not caught up yet.
You're just too
busy. I'm house hunting.
Shout out house.
Yeah. Yeah. These are all house bets.
No. Well, I mean, you're a bright guy. You're a marketing executive. You know, I thought, you know, dried up your sleeve. Like, I know you'll get to it. Whatever about it. Like, it's fine. I haven't gotten to the Ryder Cup yet, but first three episodes were whatever. They were fine. Like, it's tough being, like, a really big fan of the PGA Tour and watching it, because it's just kind of, like, PGA stuff's overblown. Like, I know most of these stories, but, yeah, I'm excited to get to the Ryder Cup episodes.
Yeah. So,
Keith Mitchell? Weekly? He should play well. He's playing well. He's good.
He's not like he's not one of the players.
I'm with you. I agree. Like, with you. Like, I just,
but he's been playing well.
Is he what's his what is he teeing off? Fuck, all these good first round leader players are in the afternoon. Whatever.
I feel like he's more of like a long iron guy, and we're not getting as much of that as he needs.
Okay.
But you know, he's good. He's playing really well. Yeah, three straight top 20.
Why'd you bet Pavone?
Number. I mean, somebody dropped a stat. Somebody dropped a stat like all of the last five winners have been averaging 1.5 strokes gained for the season. It's like Xander, Pavone, and Scotty.
So it's a number.
I haven't watched Pavone play much.
Okay.
But he's top 10 in everywhere. He makes every putt. Seems like it's a total enigma to me what he does ball striking. I don't really know if he's longer than average. I don't think he's very accurate. I think he's just like extremely average off the tee and like a streaky iron player. I'm literally just like, hey, this guy is leading the FedEx Cup race and he's 150 to 1.
No, Scotty must be now.
Okay, that's probably true. Yeah, it probably has caught. So he can't win. He's like top five.
Yeah, he only could have won when he wasn't, when he was leading the FedEx Cup. Like that was clear. I like EBR. Yeah. I like him first round later. Don't think he could win, but he gained 11 strokes on approach here 2 years ago. Fucks in Florida, playing well. 200 to 1 CLV.
Yeah, there's been a long narrative that you just don't play EVR where there's water. And really? He's done a good job repairing the image. I mean, there is a lot of water in Mexico. He's been playing, I think.
Honda.
Was he at Honda where he played well too?
Yeah, he like almost won on Sunday.
It's just like he won Mexico and he gained this new confidence. And now he's like this elite.
It's the worldwide technologies. It's not the Mexico Open.
He won in Mexico.
Okay, fine. That's like we just need.
And he could have won the Mexico
Open. You need a French connection to the players and you need a Mexico connection to the players to justify both of those picks.
Yes. You know, he just kind of looks the part, EVR, of like a guy who should be like an actually like consistently good player. Like he has a really good swing. He has like good form on the greens. Like I'm watching him hit putts and I'm like, why has this guy been an awful putter his entire career? He has like a good stroke. So I think he could be good. He actually has like a lot of top tens and like big events like WGCs, the players and stuff. So like he just doesn't play in that many majors because he hasn't been good for that long. But I wouldn't be shocked if he played. I would be shocked if he shot like 10 over and was miscut. But he has like he could win the player, sure.
No, I think he's just the perfect first round leader bet. Like I think a guy that should play well here can't win early tee time. Has like fucking peaked with the irons here. Like I like it. It's a first round leader play for me.
It's really like he's been around a long time. He's played the players once.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
What happened to the players? Like what happened? Now everyone's in the players. Like
has he really never qualified for the players?
Yeah, I don't know. Ricky Fowler 140. Oh, Ekrot. Love Ekrot this week. Ekrot every single lineup. Talk about a guy. Here's a guy, super accurate off the tee, literally one of the best iron players on tour right now. I think he's gained over 4 in his last 3 starts. Fucks on Bermuda. It's not Bermuda. Ekrot every single lineup this week. Like really like Austin. Can't win. Really like Austin Ekrot this week.
Are you guys still DMing? Are you still close?
No. I should. Did you have any FOMO with Austin and Honda?
Nah. Okay. I didn't watch much of the Honda. You know what? I was like not betting Shane Lowry. Yes.
This guy, quick speed, y'all rocking with a hole in one card this week. Yes. And I know I talked about it on here before. My hole in one card for Waste Management was one of the greatest things I've ever put together in my life. And
such a bad beat.
Trending. I am trending in the hole in one market. Novak hole in one, mortgage, Novak hole in one. That is my official play.
Is it hole in one on the 17th or
any hole in one? It's to make a hole in one. Like it will be on 17, but I think just to make a hole in one. Card will be.
What do the cops say is the right number of hole in one props to
bet? I think everything is like 7x for me. Well, no, everyone's 100 to 1.
Yeah. 7x for hole, you're gonna bet like 20 guys?
You're right. I apologize. It would probably be like 100. No. I don't know. I'll probably bet like six or seven guys.
You just bet every loser who's like top 20 on approach.
No, I like modeled it.
Ekro, EVR.
No, it's kind of like first round later plays as well. But like last year, like if you, I can name the last, the people, the three people that made a hole in one last year.
Smalley. Wait, let me try to. Smalley. Lowry, I think, was 2 years ago.
Correct.
Shit.
You fucked up.
Kelly Kraft?
No. You should know one of them, like, really. You should 100% know one of them. And you're going to kick yourself when you remember.
Shit. I remember Smalley so vividly.
We talked about him on the pod.
Getting a hole in one?
Yes.
These were all like, on 17, all the aces, right?
Yeah, but like we talked about him like extensively, and you talked about him.
It wasn't Ramey.
No.
Did he get a hole in one? No.
No. Oh, man. Buckley was the other one, and then the third guy, I'm embarrassed for you. Aaron Rye.
No way, really?
Yep.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I'm like almost positive.
I mean, I believe it. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Like, like losers who are great on approach. Like that's literally all. Like Buckley, not really, but the other two, are just like, they're not going to play well, but they could point at a pin and hit it. Like Corey Connors makes aces everywhere. Maybe he's an ace guy.
I might have to go back. Hubbard, good hole in one. Hubbard is on the hole in one card. I think he has three in his career. Like Hubbard, first round leader guy. I mean. Hole in one guy, that's on the card.
I got an ace at the Rocket Mortgage Classic and dropped his club because he thought it was a bad shot.
Yeah, and he also had one at
Spotlight that week.
Yeah. Did you vet clap that?
People forget. Yeah. Counts.
He had an ace at Wells on that Island Green. Oh. And he had one in like 2014. So yeah, Hubbard, Novak are on the hole in one card. I would think highly of you if you, in your article, put out three or four hole-in-one props. But I don't know if that would mess up, like, your ROI and shit.
It will, but actually, I think I ended up being underexposed because I built a card mostly from bets on Monday, and then the odds got better, so I just took the better odds. And, like, cash out got better odds, so I'm like, technically under, so I'll just put those towards hole in one. I'll bet like five guys 100 to 1.
And that would make me really happy, honestly.
I won't do analysis for all of them. I'll just do a section that's like, these are all guys who are losers, but they can point at a pin and hit it.
Scotty Baggs just tweeted at me, you haven't picked a winner since before COVID. That's erroneous, okay, Scotty Baggs? Like, what? That's not true. But it's fine. It's okay. It's okay to lose money. Also, I've never had more people in a TIB ever. Like, this was like, the bots are out. Like, this, there's like 1,500 people watching right now. It must be all porn bots and like fixed sports betting games. Like, I don't know what is going on. Like, you definitely drew a lot of viewers, but the numbies tonight.
Keith, I'm like shout out a Keith. Little bit.
It's on. It should be on DraftKings. Keith is actually worried about the hole in one.
Sponsored by DraftKings. Are we giving free promos out on this?
Yes. Tons. But yeah, I don't know who I'm betting. Straight up, like I need some more time. I like again. If anyone cares, I'm kind of like thinking about doing a four-man card and Harmon of like. One of JT, Hovland, Max, Colin. Like two of those. And then Burns and Windy for sure. And then I'm not really doing the long shots. Like I'm just betting them first round leader and hole in one. I'm like, I want to bet four guys below 40 to 1 is basically my strategy this week. But
I'm just looking at the odds. So like the favorite.
Some guys have like lower for hole-in-one odds, which is hilarious.
Well, you know, it's funny. Shane Lowry has the shortest odds.
What is it?
Shane Lowry and Jason Day, right? They're 80 to 1. And the longest odds you can get are Ches Revia at 110. So everybody's like 80 to 1.
Wow. No, those are bad hole in one odds. Like, I need like a 125 hole in one odd.
Well,
also, are we not going to talk about Lowry this week? I bet him here the last 2 years. He's not a winner, but he is playing well. What do you
think? Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't know how Lowry wasn't on my COG card. Like, checked every box. The number was really good. Like, there were not that many great players, and he was 35 to 1. And I bet JT Poston and Eric Cole instead of him. Like, that's just, that's a stupid process, too. And when he was like even odds going into Sunday, and I was like, there's just no way I live to not regret this. And no, he did
a loser.
Severe Shane Lowry things. So I just think you can't bet him. Like, his reputation won't allow his number to get to where it needs to be to reflect his actual win equity. So whenever he wins, if he ever wins in America, I probably just won't be there for it.
Yeah, I think honestly, he made a deal with the devil to win the 2019 Open, and he's not going to win again.
You take that deal. You take 10 times out of 10.
You will not win in America if you win this week. Yeah, that's kind of where I am on Shane. But he's good. He's fine. You know, no big deal. No real beef there.
He's so who do you think
I should bet out of Hovland, Homa, Colin, and JT?
Outright.
And Xander, maybe.
Outright.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I bet Vic and JT. I think Cantlay and Xander will never win the Players.
Okay. Like that.
Just, you have to be gutsy for 4 days. They're just never going to do that. And they generally, like, they actively try to avoid Florida. Yep. So I just don't like the situation. Homa, I bet last year, and I thought it was like, this is a great course for him. I think he will win the Players in his career. The ball striking is in a weird place. Okay. So I don't love it. Like, I'm not in love with the Vic bet, but I love where the number has gotten to. Like, it's a good number now. Okay. I was kind of like convincing myself when I wrote him up, he was like 18, and I was like, yeah, I think I would still do it. And then he like closed at like 25, and it's like, okay, I'll definitely do Vic at 25 for sure. He's probably the second best player in this field if he has his A game.
Okay, that's fair. I don't hate that take.
I mean,
I
guess
I just worry about the short game. I like Hotwood, but I worry about the short game.
The thing that put me over with Vic was I looked at the weather. It doesn't look that bad. And if we get nasty weather where the wind is like, you're hitting good shots and the wind is blowing it off the green anyway, you don't play. And that's how he lost the API. That's how Scotty won it the year that he won. Like, Vic had it in a runaway. He was up like 6 strokes on Sunday, and every hole it was impossible to hold a green, and he couldn't get up and down on any of them. So I worry if the wind gets too much for Vic, but it looks like the wind's actually like kind of in check. So I like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put my card out eventually. I don't know if I like the Monday Tibbs. Honestly, I'm seeing Dean tomorrow night, and you have dinner, so I couldn't do it. But I've been ripping a lot of Monday Tibbs this year.
I mean, 1,500 viewers. Maybe the people are like asking for Monday Tibbs.
Yeah, maybe they need a Monday Tibbs.
This is Liv Bangkok numbers.
This is Liv Cock numbers. Let's play golf soon. I miss you dearly.
I might be in your close to your neighborhood soon.
Yeah, it's been way too long since Woke Hill. I wish you the best on your house hunting, in your job as an admin, and obviously I know everyone does. Everyone check out John's articles on the lines. They're great. They're informative. He's a good writer. He's putting out a hole in one card. I don't know what more you could really want.
Oh, thank you. That's the kindest outro anyone's ever given me.
Yeah. We're going to do the intro next, but we got the outro. But yeah, we'll see everyone next week. Valspar week. John. Fox.
Foxy?
Fox is winning the Valspar.
Interesting.
Like mortgage. Fox is winning the Valspar.
Okay.
All right. We'll see everyone next week. Actually, I don't know if I could do 10. It's fine. We'll figure it out.
Next week.
Everyone have a good night.